your Paul Breiter's reflection on monkeys are like that is very much also what I've learned living with him in Thailand and from Thailand itself, because when I went there, I was a very idealistic person and had very high standards of what I wanted and for myself and for everyone else. And so it was this incredible idealism that I was very attached to. And then, of course, I couldn't live up to it, and no one else could. But this is part of an American karma, isn't it? We're very idealistic, and then because of that, very critical of ourselves and everything else. And the thing that impressed me in Thailand itself was, because it is Buddhist country, they're not particularly idealistic. They have this sense of, this is the way the world is. And this is, you know, to want it to be otherwise is to create suffering, because it can't be the way you want it, it's just the way it is. And even though this obviously is just common sense. It didn't really dawn on me until I really lived with Lumpur Cha. And I remember this was before I met Lumpur Cha, I was in Nong Khai, and at that time, Nong Khai is a province across the Mekong River from Laos, and at that time Laos was still, this is 1966, so it was still not communist. Part of it, the northern part was, but Vientiane and that area was still under the royal Lao government. So I was in meditation, and I hear these rumors, and one of them was that a Lao general from a southern town called Savannakhet went up and bombed, because he got angry with the general up in Vientiane, went up and bombed the military base. And so when I heard this, I thought, this is stupid. And so Thai monk came, and I was talking to him about this. I said, this is really a stupid thing to have done. And the monk says, yes, it is, but it's the way life is. And something in me, all my indignation, suddenly I started seeing that, you know, I had this view, it shouldn't be like this. And so it was a kind of awakening to looking at life as experience rather than from the ideals of how it should be. And living with Lumpur Cha was very much that kind of training, because, you know, when I went there, of course, I wanted this ideal place, this perfect monastery and enlightened teacher. And of course, when I went there, when you're kind of holding on to the ideals, you tend to see that in a way. You convince yourself this is really the best place, and Ajahn Chah is the best teacher. But then, as that kind of illusion fades away, you can be a critical moment, because you start noticing it doesn't quite live up to the ideal, and in many ways it's far from it. So then I'd start suffering, you know, thinking this isn't right, they shouldn't do it like this. So this critical mind, he was very good at getting me to see. And because the others have pointed this out, someone with that kind of pure presence is really a mirror. Because I noticed living with him, being around him, that things would drop very quickly. It's like he was a mirror for me. And so sometimes I'd wind myself up with my critical mind thinking I don't like this, and that he shouldn't be allowing this, and I'd get, I'm going to tell Ajahn Chah, and I'd go over to his kuti, and as soon as I'd arrive and I'd see him, suddenly all this would drop, you know. All my criticisms and problems seemed to just cease, and I began to notice this, you know, here I convinced myself these were real problems, and yet when I actually had the opportunity to address this with him, I didn't need to anymore. And this happened many times.